Okay. All right. I would like to call to order at 1900 hours this Thursday, February 22nd, 2024 meeting of the MODL Planning Advisory Committee. We have regrets from Councillor Moore, and we have Member at Large Ann Meck joining us via Teams. Okay, good. Okay. So I would like to begin by acknowledging that we are in the Mi'kmaq, the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people. And I'd just like to review the procedure for the public to address this committee. So an opportunity will be provided to all citizens to address the committee on each agenda item shown on this agenda or added to the agenda by the committee. Individuals who wish to address the committee are asked to note the following. On each matter on the committee's agenda, the chair will seek public comment upon the completion of staff's presentation. Each person shall state their name. All statements and questions shall be directed to the chairperson. Presentation shall be limited to 10 minutes. Persons wishing to address the committee a second time will be given the opportunity to do so once all others in attendance have had the opportunity to address the committee. Persons addressing the committee for a second time shall limit their presentations to 5 minutes. Anyone wishing to address the committee on a matter not included on this agenda can have the matter added to the next meeting's agenda by contacting Jeff Merrill, Director of Planning, just beside me, at 902-541-1340 or by mail at planning@modl.ca. Everybody has the copy of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda? No. Sorry. Oh, Councillor Vino, do we have a seconder? Councillor Greek, any discussion on that at all? I'll call a question. All in favor, signify by saying yes or raising your hand. Contrary minded, if any. And yeah, she was in favor. I got that. Yeah. Approval of the minutes. You've all seen the minutes as well. That was on Thursday, January the 25th, 2024. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes? Larry Larry Hagel, a member at large. We have a seconder. Okay, Keith Drysdale, member at large. Any discussion on that? Any errors or omissions? Okay, I'll call a question. All in favor, signify by raising your hand. Contrary minded, if any. Nobody? Thank you, Ann, too. Okay. Are there any, or is there any business arising from the minutes, Jeff?
The business, the committee dealt with the substantive alteration to the St. John's Evangelist Church. I can report that council accepted that recommendation and approved that alteration, and they also suggested that we come back with amendments to our heritage alteration policy, and that is on the agenda tonight.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. That's it. Thank you. So we do not have any planning advisory committee matters here to discuss tonight, but we do, as Jeff mentioned, two matters. So the first one is a New Elm Union Church, a substantial alteration. We dealt with a similar thing last month as well, followed by a discussion on and a direction on the proposed revisions to Policy 027, Heritage Property. So before Ella Gindy, our Heritage Planner, starts her presentation, Jeff, do you have anything to say prior to that?
No.
Okay.
Hand it over to Ella.
Ella, thank you.
Yep. Good evening, everyone. So I'll start with a bit of a background. So we received a letter requesting an exterior alteration to the New Elm Union Church to build a wheelchair ramp over the existing steps to accommodate people of all ages and abilities. The existing steps are made of concrete and another small step of wood. And according to the policy, it is deemed to be substantial alteration. And the question for the advisory committee is whether the proposed alteration will adversely affect the heritage essence of the building's exterior architecture, or if prioritizing accessibility is paramount, considering the building's is a focal point of the community and is being used regularly. So you can see here a photo of the existing concrete stair and wood steps, sorry. So just a bit of information about the church. It was built in 1906. It was registered as a municipal heritage property in 2007. The heritage designation that they received were because of its, first of all, of its age, and it has some local significance, such as it's the only church that is built in this area. The type of architectural style is Greek Revival, which means the elements will be a temple plan, symmetrical facade, simplifies corner boards, window ornaments, and wooden shingles. And as you can see, as part of these architectural elements, the stairs are not deemed to be a character-defining element. And another thing that needs to be discussed is that a lot of other churches within the municipality are being taken down or being reused as something else. This church is still being used by the community on a regular basis, whether if it's for religious service acts, and also as a gathering community space. They do have lobster dinners or movie nights and other game nights that are reoccurring regularly in this space. So it does hold a very strong importance to the community as they are using it regularly. Oh, sorry. There's other photos of the church, so you can see how simplified and...
Is this the same church that recently came to us for the new roof?
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. They do have a new president on board, and they are focusing on making sure that the structure will be adaptable and resilient.
Fantastic.
For the community to be reused. So as we will see probably regularly coming with different types of renovations. There are other alteration requests that were that they requested to do, but they are not deemed to be substantial alteration. Thus, the heritage planner was able to decide if it needs to, to approve it or not without the heritage committee. Yeah. So according to the standards and guidelines of historic places in Canada regarding accessibility. Should I continue or should I wait for a second?
Please wait for a second.
Let's just wait for a second.
It's important that Jeff is here.
Yeah, but you can see in the meantime the photos. It's definitely a very well-known Greek Revival architectural style, very clean design. Exactly.
I'll just make a comment. Well, just for the other committee members that are there, in addition to what Councillor Greek had said, this group came to us several months ago trying to save this church/hall, and the gallery was full. And it really spoke to members pitching in and keeping this church going, not just, as Ella said, for services, but for community use. And... It's good to it's good to see when volunteers get together to support a small building like this.
It is, and as Councillor Wino just mentioned, that just shows the importance of maintaining and preserving that place as well. Not just for its heritage significance, but just for its use as well. So I'll continue from where I left off. According to the standards and guidelines of historic places in Canada regarding accessibility, making historic places accessible is a widely sought after social goal, as we also talked about last month for a different property. The most effective solution is to maintain a balance between accessibility and preserving the heritage value, and that's by enhancing the use and appreciation for everyone. And staff recommends that the Heritage Advisory Committee consider making a positive recommendation to Council permitting the proposal alteration as requested by the applicant. There is a motion if we need it.
Okay, I'd just like to acknowledge that Mayor Bolivar Getson has joined the meeting. Okay. I'll throw it open for discussion and any questions. Yes, Councillor Vino.
Yeah, I don't have a question, just an additional comment. Anything that we can do to support buildings becoming accessible, I think, is in the best interest for not only community, but us going forward to show that that's a priority to this committee and then going to council. So I will be in favor of the motion.
It's interesting that the last two things have been exactly the same thing, accessibility, over other elements, and thank goodness this is not a character-defining element, too.
So, again, coming in on the tail end, it's for accessibility.
Yes. It's not the policy, though. It's amendment. It's another application that we received for. Yeah.
All right. So the motion, then, if there's no other discussion or questions, is a motion that the Heritage Advisory Committee recommends to Council that Council approve the alteration to the Municipal Registered Heritage Property, New Elm Union Church, to permit the installation of a wheelchair ramp. So does anybody want to move the motion? Okay, Councillor Vino, do we have a seconder? The mayor? The mayor will do it? Okay, thank you. Any discussion? No. I'll call the question. All in favor, signify by raising your hand. Okay. We have from Anne as well. You raise your hand. In the affirmative, contrary minded, if any, none. The motion is passed. Thank you, Ms. Gindy. We'll go on to the second item on our agenda. Is the proposed revisions to policy 027. Heritage property. I guess that were born out of the last two items that we had to deal with. Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay. I just like to acknowledge that Councillor Kathy Moore has joined the meeting.
So a bit of a background to the amendment to the heritage policy, heritage property policy. On February 13th, Council directed staff to review the heritage property policy to deem accessibility alterations as non-substantial. It's important to note that in the policy right now, there isn't anything that actually says anything about accessibility use. However, alteration to certain types of features in the buildings could make the accessibility deemed as of now accessibility alterations as substantial, and thus we are discussing this today. It will help by revising the policy. It will help to foster a more smoother and efficient decision-making process, by balancing, expediting the process, but also maintaining the heritage preservation. So staff reviewed the policy to see what needs to be done and how we can ensure that accessibility features can be deemed as non-substantial alterations. So we're reviewing the Section 5 of the Heritage Property Policy that is considered to deem substantial alteration. As we can see, subsection E, V, and another clause categorize replacement of doors and alterations to stairs, porches, and decks and balconies, etc., as substantial alterations. Those are usually the alterations that are needed to introduce an accessibility feature. And also they're considering factors such as size, style, placement, and material, and structural changes. Also, Section 6 of the Heritage Property Policy that deals with non-substantial alterations. So Section 6B highlights repairs or replacement of existing materials without changing size, style, and placement, orientation, or materials. If you remember, in the last Heritage Advisory Committee, when we had an alteration proposal for St. John's Church, the request dealt with replacing the existing steps, but also deck, in order to introduce a wheelchair ramp. So that, because of that replacement, it also the material as well, it deemed as a substantial alteration. Our interpretation of the policy is that Section 6 specifies material change or replacement, so thus it's a substantial alteration. Also, with combining Section 5, the interpretation indicates that altering doors, steps, or decks constitutes of substantial alteration. Thus, it requires adherence to also Canadian guidelines and approval process. As you can see here, there are certain photos of how you can integrate a wheelchair ramp. These are the options usually when the steps are considered to be a character-defining element. So you're trying to go through another side instead of replacing completely the steps, trying to introduce another feature of accessibility feature. The standards and guidelines of historic places in Canada provides a vital document. It's a vital document to inform heritage preservation decisions. So we are using it as staff. Every time we come here with a report, we are looking at the guidelines to see how are we reviewing the alteration proposal in addition to the policy and bylaw. There's also accessibility guidance, not a lot, but it does say that complying with accessibility requirements while conserving character-defining elements is important. Respecting the landforms, when locating new accessibility features, such as introducing gently sloped walkways or wheelchair ramps, and working with an accessibility conservation specialist or accessibility coordinator is important. But also there's other accessibility points that they are talking about, as the inclusivity aspect and compatibility, and also to ensure, but in still ensure that there will be sensitive modifications. But the guideline does say that they are in full support of introducing accessibility features, because it's important that everyone will enjoy an historic place and making sure that everyone has the access to it as well. So it comes to the equity, diversity, and inclusion aspect that we are all been familiar with as of recent. This is the Nova Scotia Accessibility Act. It does discuss the importance of removing barriers in certain domains, but also in the built environments, and heritage properties are part of our built environment. So there is importance to ensure accessibility in heritage properties, even though they're not specifically targeting heritage properties. They are talking about our built environment. For this revision to the policy will adhere with provincial accessibility standards as well. So we are going to make our policy way more adherent to provincial regulations, but also to our regional regulations, as we have a regional accessibility coordinator as well and an accessibility plan. We also discussed, we had a discussion with the regional accessibility coordinator, and the accessibility coordinator is in full support of the revision to the policy. They discussed that the efficiency in barrier removal of the proposed amendment will provide clearer and more efficient way of removing excess barriers to properties. Also, it's important to understand accessibility is a human right, and the province recognizes that the accessibility is a human right, and it aligns also with the UN Convention of Human Rights of Persons and Disabilities. There is a gap in guidance, so the municipality taking this step of introducing this revision, we are almost pioneering in that regard. And it's important to also note that there's a high rate of disability in this province. It's the highest; it has the highest disability rate in Canada, and also it highlights the urgency of the matter.
Before you continue, I just have a question to ask about. I mean, that's an alarming 37.9%. And before this meeting, we discussed what disabilities are included in that, and this is a per capita percentage, obviously, according to the provinces. So would you mind going through what kinds of disabilities are included in this? Because it's a wide range.
It's a wide range. It takes into consideration physical, intellectual, learning, and mental disability. Yeah.
Thank you.
This is the proposed amendment to the heritage property policy, and it will be located under Section 6 to enable accessibility uses, and it is by introducing a new subsection C, that will state that accessibility uses and features will to be deemed non-substantial as long as they are not a character-defining element.
So again, I go back to a wheelchair ramp where they definitely changed the character of the building, but from an accessibility perspective, that overrides that, yes.
Most of the time, the steps are not necessarily considered to be a character-defining element.
Right from the start.
But if it is, then the suggestion of the Canadian guidelines is to not necessarily replace the steps, but introduce a new feature. So introduce a wheelchair ramp into the area, into the entrance, instead of removing completely the steps, if the steps are considered to be a character-defining element, which most of the time it's not. Yeah, they're not. If there aren't any questions?
Yeah, so I was going to ask, any questions or discussion on this? Mayor.
I think this is a step in the right direction. This is something that meets a lot of dots, checks all the boxes in a lot of different avenues from a municipal point of view. So anything that we can do to make buildings more accessible, we should definitely be changing the bylaw to make that happen. So all in favor.
Yeah, Ms. Mick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to mention, too, that in terms of staircases, if you think about it, those stairs have probably been replaced several times. If they're wooden, or they've gone wooden to cement. So really, that it's not surprising that they're not typically a defining element.
Yeah. That is correct.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, Keith Drysdale.
Thank you. I take no exception to what we're proposing. The issue for me is nowhere can I find a definition of what a character-defining element is. So when I read the document, I understand the intent, but I don't have a measuring stick to measure against because I don't have a basis. And I was just going to suggest that the definition does exist in the standards and guidelines for the conservation of historic places, so it would be easy to poach that definition for the purposes of our policy.
Okay, Bindi.
The definition of a character-defining element varies with the structure. So what deems to be a character-defining element is that every time that for example, with New Ulm, a Greek Revival style, what the architectural features that are considered within the Greek Revival architectural style, those are to be deemed as a character-defining element. So usually the character-defining elements will be listed in the municipalities, each property, and their own distinct features.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Gindi. Yes, again, going to Keith Drysdale.
I understand specifically each building will have its own unique defining element. What I'm suggesting is the broad definition of what a character defining element is which is what they tried to do in the conservation of historic places. So not down to the specifics, because you will have that for each property, but just as the reader of the policy is to have an understanding of what a character defining element generally is. That's where I was headed.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion or questions? No? Okay. So I'm looking for somebody to move this motion. Reads that the Heritage Advisory Committee recommends Council approve the proposed amendment to Policy 027, Heritage Property Policy, to deem accessibility enhancements as non-substantial alterations, provided they do not alter any character-defining elements. Okay. Council Greek, do we have a seconder? Okay. Larry Hagel, any discussion on this? Further discussion? No? They'll call the question. All in favor, signify by raising your hand. Contrary-minded, if any. And Anne is in the affirmative, too. Okay. Passed. Thank you. Are there any added items, Jeff?
No, those were the only two items.
No in-camera items?
No.
Okay. Next meeting date then is Thursday, March the 28th at 7 p.m. We have a motion to adjourn the meeting. Okay, Councillor Moore. I don't think I need a second. And seconded by the mayor. All in favor? Everybody clamoring to get out. That's it. Okay. Oh, thank you, everybody. Yeah, thank you, Anne, for joining via Teams.